Well, turn again in your Bibles to Psalm 19. Having read it a little bit earlier on, I'm not going to read it again. But the reality is, there has been progress in communication over many, many years from creation. If you think of how communication has happened over the many years, it's gone from word of mouth to using light, to using smoke signals, to using runners or horse riding, delivering messages, to letters, to pigeons, to a telegraph, to a telephone, to wireless Morse code, television, and the list goes on and on and on, doesn't it? The wonderful reality of communication. Communication has taken many forms and in many ways in which we communicate with each other. Our understanding also of God has changed over the years. But the reality is, God has been communicating to us in all these different ways. God, friends, our understanding of communication, friends, has been developed over the years because of the way God has helped us understand. There is only one difference in how God communicates to us and how we get to know God and how we get to know other things. If we want to know other things, we can investigate them, we can study them, we can put them under a microscope, we can listen to them. But friends, the reality is, when God wants to tell us about, when we need to understand about God, the only way we can understand anything about God is if God tells us about that thing of who He is. And this psalm deals with that particular subject. You know, when we're able to understand a lot of things, but we don't understand God, friends, until when we look at the psalm, we discover how God reveals Himself to us. How we can know about God because of His revelation of Himself to us. So, I want you today to look at the reasons why we can know God. How can we know things about God? Well, many philosophers said that you can never know who God is. But the wonderful truth is, friends, we can know who God is. And simply for these three reasons. First of all, we can know who God is because God reveals Himself in nature. As I try to show with the young children, the reality is, it says, the heavens declare the glory of God. The skies proclaim the work of His hands. Everywhere you look, friends, there is a message that God is who He is. What does nature have to tell us about who God is? It reveals something of God's character. It tells us that God's character is glorious. It says the heavens declare the glory of God. And friends, the reality is, I just took one little flower today. It's one of the more simple flowers if you had a look at it. But Patricia has been given orchids over the years, particularly by Ronnie when he was still with us. And the wonderful, as we go out of our front door, and those particular orchids may be blooming. As you look at the intricate nature of some of those orchids, it's just amazing to see how wonderfully creative God is. And friends, God's glory is revealed wherever we look around us in nature. Doesn't take a great imagination to realize that God must be awesome when you look at His glory. Not only is God awesome, but His creative power is proclaimed. It says, verse 1 carries on, the skies proclaim the work of His hand. Friends, creation never ceases to amaze us, doesn't it? The reality is, we may think we know a lot about creation, but deep in the oceans, friends, is part of God's creation which humanity hasn't even begun to investigate. We know more about the surface of the moon than we know about the depths of our oceans. So God's, friends, creative power is incredible. But not only that, God's wisdom is displayed. Verse 2 says, day after day, they pour forth speech. Night after night, they display the knowledge of who God is. Friends, we can learn a lot about God from nature, God's character, His glory, His creative power, His wisdom. And the reality is, friends, nature not only displays God's character, it also reveals God's character and God's who God is in a universal language. A person in Outer Mongolia and a person in the deep forests of the Amazon and a person in sophisticated New York or London or Paris, friends, doesn't matter where you are in this world, the reality is we all look at nature and all of us can hear God speak. It says in verse 3, there is no speech or language where their voice is not heard. Their voice goes out into all the earth, their words to the ends of the world. Friend, everybody can comprehend who God is through nature. I'm going to come back to that thought at the end of this message, but just keep it in the back of your mind. So how can we know about God? Friends, we can know God because God has revealed Himself in nature. All humanity, all of His creation, all of His creation can know who He is because of the creation that we have around Him. So, although God reveals Himself in nature, we can also know God because God reveals Himself through Scripture. There are six definitions given of the Word of God. It says, the law of the Lord is perfect, reviving the soul. The statutes of the Lord are trustworthy, making wise the simple. The precepts of the Lord are right, giving joy to the heart. The commands of the Lord are radiant, giving light to the eyes. The fear of the Lord is pure, enduring forever. The ordinances of the Lord are sure and altogether righteous. All six of these statements, friends, refer to the Word of God, just using a different word to describe them. In each of the little phrases, there is a title given to the Word, there is an attribute given to the Word, and then there is an effect that the Word has. So what are the titles? The first one is the law of the Lord. What's David talking about when he talks about the law of the Lord? The law of the Lord, friends, is the general description for God's Word. Everybody talks about the law of the Lord as being just the Bible. Then it talks about the statutes of the Lord. Within the law of the Lord are statutes. What are the statutes? The statutes, friends, are directions designed to secure obedience. There are parts of God's word which are the law parts, like Deuteronomy. I know most people, when they read through the Bible, they start with Genesis, it's wonderful, then they get to Exodus, and then they get to Deuteronomy and Leviticus, and suddenly they say, oh, too much information here. And that is really what David is talking about here. The statutes of the law, those parts of God's law, or those parts of God's word, which describe for us the laws of God. Then there in verse 8, it talks about the precepts of the Lord. The precepts of the Lord describes the rules that we have in the Bible for everyday living. And a lot of the Proverbs would fall into that category. The Proverbs gives us a wonderful image and picture of who God is. As you read through those Proverbs, they teach us a truth by using a common phrase and a common saying. So the precepts of the law are the rules by which we live by. It talks about the commands of the Lord. Oftentimes you come across that little phrase in the Bible which says, thus says the Lord. There's no debate. This is, of course, all the Bible is thus said the Lord, but there are specific things where the Bible says, thus saith the Lord. And that's what it's talking about, the commands of the Lord. Those times when, friends, God divinely decrees something, and there is no debate about it at all. Then there is described in verse 9, the fear of the Lord. What's the fear of the Lord? Well, the fear of the Lord, friends, refers to the attitude developed through our respect for God's word. The way we approach God's word is no less important than the very word of God itself. Many approach the word of God as if it's just another book, it's just a piece of paper. But friends, the fear of the Lord is what brings us, when we come to the word of the Lord, with respect and awe and inspiration, to know that when we handle the Bible, friends, we're handling the very words of God himself. And then finally, it's described as the ordinances of the Lord. The ordinances of the Lord refer to the judgment of God. There's coming a time, friends, when the ordinance of the Lord will be felt by all of those who will come before him, and that's all of us. But it'll be felt particularly by those who come before the Lord who have rejected his words. So those are the six titles: the law, the statutes, the precepts, the commands, the fear, and the ordinances. And there is one key in all of them, because they all end with that little phrase, of the Lord. We're not talking about something which is not important, friends. We're talking about, when we come to the word of God, we're talking about that which is of the Lord. So every time you come to the scriptures, friends, remember this isn't just a kind of light-hearted text or a book that you're reading. This, which is what you're reading, friends, comes from the Lord himself. And we should be very careful when we approach God's words. Secondly, not only are there six titles given, there are six attributes given. Attributes are things that are described which give us a definition of that part, of that the word of God. So the first one is, the law of the Lord is perfect. Means complete. That's what the word means. It lacks nothing. It's one of the reasons why we as Baptists believe in the supremacy of Scripture. God alone, Christ alone, the Scriptures alone. That's what the Reformation was all about, friends. There was a time in the history of the church when the Catholic Church says, oh, it's nice of us to have the Bible, but the Bible doesn't teach us everything we need to know about God. So they said, well, when the Pope speaks, we've got to also listen to the Pope. And, unfortunately, the Pope was starting to speak a lot of nonsense at some point in time. I'll give you an example. The thing that made Martin Luther very angry was the Pope had decided the Catholic Church needed some money. So the Pope decreed that the Catholic Church should start selling indulgences. Now, what's an indulgence, you may say? Well, the Catholic Church said, if you're going to have a party and you want to get drunk at your party, or you want to sleep with another man's wife, then you can pay us in advance and we will forgive your sins in advance of you committing the sin. So that's why it was called an indulgence. You could give money so that you could have the right to indulge in sin. An indulgence. You can see why it wasn't so biblical, was it? And Martin Luther said, no, this is not in the Bible. And that's what he rejected when he started the Reformation. He said, we've got to go back to the Bible because the Bible is complete. We don't need the words of the Pope or anybody else or anything else. Only the Bible is what we need. It's perfect. Then the second one says, the statutes of the Lord are trustworthy. Are you looking for directions in life? Well, friends, don't always believe the GPS. The GPS will mislead you from time to time. It'll take you around a road that is not a good road. But that's what the word trustworthy means. God's word is dependable. You can always trust in the directions that God gives. So let me give you an example. The Bible says homosexuality is a sin. You know, as much as the world may say it's not a sin, as much as the world may say, well, as long as couples love each other, that's fine. It's love which kind of is the most important thing. But friend, the reality is, when one looks at laws that go against the word of God, you often discover that they also come with consequences. The third title is the precepts. And it says the rules for living are right. Friends, they give us the assurance that while humanity might think that God's word is old-fashioned, it is still God's standard for today. And we should never lose sight of that. It says the commands of the Lord are radiant. The commands of the Lord, friends, the divine decrees of the Lord, is that which gives light. The brightness of God's word stands head and shoulders above everything else. The fear of the Lord tells us it's pure. When you approach the Lord's word with fear, friends, there is purity in your heart. You can approach it with confidence because you are clean and honest and respected. And the ordinances, friends of the Lord, the judgments of God, friends, the Bible tells us, are sure. People may say, I don't have to account to God. But there's coming a day, friend, when every one of us will stand before God. There's not a single one of us who will not stand before God and be held accountable for what we have done. And then it talks about the effects of God's word. Gives us six titles, six attributes, and six effects. So if the law of the Lord is perfect, then what does that do? It revives the soul. When we read God's word, friends, we are nourished by God Himself. God is the one who gives us everything we need for daily living. The statutes, the directions of the Lord are trustworthy. Because they are trustworthy, friends, they make wise the simple. Wisdom and knowledge are two different things. In fact, our quiet time was about this morning. I said to Patricia as we were listening to our quiet time that this point was in my sermon this morning. Knowledge is is information that you gather. But wisdom, friend, is how you use the information. You can have all the information. There's some very clever people in this world, friends, but they may not be wise. Because wisdom doesn't have to do with quantity of knowledge. Wisdom has to do with quality of knowledge. What you believe, not how much you know. Number three, the precepts of the Lord, the rules for daily living, are right, and they give joy to the heart. Well, friends, there's a great joy, a difference between joy and happiness. Happiness depends upon what is called the hap of life. The hap of life are the chance events of life. If I get a new car, may your words come true. If I get a new car, I'll be happy, won't I? Thank you. Ava promised me a car this morning. Did you not hear that? That will make me happy. But will it bring me joy? Now, only Jesus can give me joy, friends. A car can make me happy, but only Jesus can give me joy. The commands of the Lord are radiant. Because the commands of the Lord are what gives light to our eyes. The fear of the Lord is pure and endures forever. You've often heard me preach and say, there are only two things, friends, that go with us into all eternity. One of them is the word of God. It's the only thing that endures forever. Because God says, my words will not pass away. And of course, the souls of those that we have had a part of redeeming into all eternity. And the ordinances of the Lord are sure, friends, and they're altogether righteous because God's word is always right. It'll never fail. And then David gives this wonderful description of the word of God, just a wonderful summary. They are more precious than gold. Than pure gold. They are sweeter than honey from the comb. By them is your servant warned. In keeping them there is great reward. Who can discern his errors? Forgive my hidden faults. Keep your servant also from willful sins. May they not rule over me. Then will I be blessed, innocent of great transgressions. So friend, God reveals himself through nature, and God reveals himself through the scriptures. But there's a third way in which God reveals himself, and that, friends, is through his Son, through Jesus. Verse 4 says this, in the heavens he has pitched a tent for the sun, which is like a bridegroom coming forth from his pavilion, like a champion rejoicing to run his course. It rises in one end of the heavens and makes its circuit to the other. Nothing is hidden from your heat. In verse 14, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. Those two verses, friends, point us to the fact that God reveals himself through Jesus, his Son. For Jesus is the light of the world. Verse 4 says, in the heavens, he has pitched his tent for the sun. Of course, David only knew it as S-U-N, but we know it as S-O-N, don't we? Jesus is the light, friends. Not the sun, not the light from the sun. Jesus is the ultimate light. Jesus said of himself in John chapter 8, when Jesus spoke again to the people, he said, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, and I have the light of light, life. Friends, in the same way that the sun helps us see things brightly, the reality is Jesus brings light, brings life into our lives. Not only is Jesus the light of the world, he's also the bridegroom. Verse 5, it says, it's like a bridegroom coming forth. In Mark chapter 8, it says this, John's disciples and the Pharisees were fasting. Some people came and asked Jesus, how is it that John's disciples and the disciples of the Pharisees are fasting, but yours are not? Jesus answered them this, how can the guest of the bridegroom fast while he is with them? They cannot, so long as he is with them. But the time is coming when the bridegroom will be taken from them, and on that day they will fast. David didn't know it, friends. But when he described the Son as a bridegroom, he was pointing to Jesus. Jesus is the one who is the bridegroom. Jesus is the final revelation from God. He's come to tell us all we need to know about God. And then the last verse says, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. Jesus, friends, is the rock. Ephesians chapter 2 tells us this. It says, consequently, you are no longer foreigners and aliens, but fellow citizens with God's people and members of God's household, built on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, with Christ himself as the chief cornerstone. Friends, Jesus is the rock upon which we build the church. He is God's final revelation. And of course, Jesus is our Redeemer. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of our heart be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, my rock and my Redeemer. Luke chapter 1, talking about Jesus, the prophesying of Jesus' birth, says this, praise be to the Lord, the God of Israel, because he has come to redeem his people. And Galatians tells us, Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law by becoming a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is anyone who hangs on the tree. He redeemed us in order that the blessings given to Abraham might come to the Gentiles through us, so that by faith we might receive the promise of God. So friends, how do we know God? How do we discover who God is? Well, we see him in nature. And all of the world, friends, have no excuse as to acknowledging God, because the nature of God is all over. There's not a place where it is not seen. We see him in the Word of God. Friends, if you want to know God, who God is, study his Word. But if you want to know who God is in your heart, allow the Holy Spirit to reveal Jesus to you. The Holy Spirit is also called the Spirit of Christ. As the Spirit of Christ, friends, reveals Christ to you, you get to know who God is. Praise the Lord that He's given us His Spirit. Praise the Lord that Jesus has left His Spirit with us, that makes it possible for us to know who God is, because through His Spirit we can discover who God is. Friend, you believe God exists? Well, the sad reality is the world around us doesn't. The book of Romans makes it clear. Listen to what it says in the book of Romans. The wrath of God is being revealed from heaven against godlessness and wickedness of men who suppress the truth by their wickedness. Since what is known about God is plain to them, because God has made it plain to them. For since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, His eternal power and divine nature have been clearly seen, been understood from what has been made, so that men are without excuse. Friend, you can't say, I don't know who God is, because God's all around you. People can't say, I don't believe in God. Just tell them, open your eyes and look at nature, and you will know who God is. Once they open their eyes and look at nature and see who God is, friends, maybe then you can turn them to the Scriptures. Maybe then they can comprehend who God is through His Word. And then pray that the Holy Spirit would reveal Christ to them, so that they don't only see God in the flowers, because there are many who see a God-like character in the flowers. You just got to go up the hog's back to realize that. That God, friend, is beyond the flowers. God isn't in the flowers, although the flowers tell us about who God is. God, friends, is overall. God wants us to know Him. So how can you know Him? You can know Him in creation. You can know Him through your word, through His word. And you can know Him through Christ, as the Spirit of God reveals the truth about Jesus in our hearts and our lives. Let's pray together. Thank you, Lord. Thank you that you haven't kept the knowledge of who you are away from us. Thank you that you reveal to us the wonderful truth of who you are. We pray, Lord, that you would thwart the work of the enemy, who tries to darken people to the truth of who you are. Bring them into the light. May your Spirit give us understanding. May your Spirit break open your word to us, so that we discover you not only through Christ, but through your word and through nature. You are a glorious God. We give you all the praise. In Jesus' name, amen.